Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our new Value for Money Council Services Scrutiny Committee. My name is Councillor Dr. Russell Locke, and if you think that's a bit of a mouthful, I agree with you. I'll be the chair of this committee going forward. Now, we have a fun-packed agenda this evening, starting off, as always, with to receive apologies for absence. Do we have any apologies for absence?
We have apologies from Councillor Hadley.
Thank you. Okay, we move on to item two of the agenda, declarations of interest. Does anyone around the table have any interests they wish to declare? Okay, in that case, we move on to item three of the agenda, urgent business. To consider any urgent business brought forward to the audit committee. I don't care about the audit committee. Under rule 12. Taking we haven't had any.
No, we haven't, Chair.
We have had none.
Sorry.
We will move to item four of the agenda, appointment of a vice chair. On this item, I would like to nominate Councillor Gaskin. Do I have a seconder for that? Thank you, Councillor Beach. Do I have any other nominations? No. In that case, for Councillor Gaskin as Vice Chair of the Committee.
Okay.
Against. And abstentions. Thank you, and congratulations, Councillor Gaskin. Okay, we move to item five of the agenda. Corporate plan performance report for the end of year 2021-22. And I pass over now to the corporate and commercial manager, James Abbott.
Thanks, Chair. So in the normal way, this is the end of year performance report, which is looking at the council's progress towards achieving its corporate plan priorities for the 2021-22 financial year. So as always, I'll just provide a very quick summary of the headline figures and key points arising from the report. As you can see from the information in the documents that have been circulated tonight, the numbers again suggest that overall the corporate performance continues to be very positive. So just to summarise, each target has been graded using the usual red, amber, green traffic light star system of ratings to enable us to rank each individual indicator accordingly, depending on the progress up to the end of March this year. And based on that, the analysis is showing that looking at the 122 live targets, this equates to the council being at 94.26% green overall, just 1.64% amber, and just 4.10%. Although I should say at the meeting earlier this month, Cabinet did resolve that the targets with an amber status should be considered as red for the purposes of the year-end reporting, the year-end position. So that takes the figures to 94.26% green still, but moving that to 5.74% red across all the priorities. If we take the same approach looking at the value for money council priority, which is of course the focus of this committee, figures are at 93.24% green and 6.75% red. The tables on pages 9 and 10 of the main report just show some narrative around the situation of each of those targets that have not been graded as green, just to provide a little bit of context. Of course, Appendix 1 does provide comprehensive data on all the indicators in the corporate plan under the VFM priority, with the relevant benchmark also included as Appendix 2. So that's the summary in terms of the final performance. Section 5.8 of the main report looks at the targets for the current financial years, so 22-23, that were agreed at full council when the corporate plan was approved to be set post-outturn. Targets that were agreed by Cabinet are now included in that section for information. So that's a quick summary of the key points. As I mentioned at the outset, I've already suggested that Council is in a very good position. And with that, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. I'd like to ask the people in the room who would like to make a comment on this item. Anyone got any questions? I myself have a question. In relation to VFM 50B, the one that's off target, since we're quite a long way off target, I'm just wondering if do we have any theories as to what's happened there?
So this is the first year that we had that target in as a target. The year previously, we were looking at and then set a target for 2021-22. So it was a pretty lovely optimistic target that it set, to be honest, because the target is actually recovering all the payments that created in that year, during that year. So they got to recover all the overpayments that have been created. And as you can see from the other overpayments targets, they go on for quite a number of years. So you'll always see one that's over 100% in terms of recovery, because you're recovering for that year plus previous years, but comparing the target or the collection against the target that's been set for the current year. It's a way that the old national indicators used to work. But this one will give us a good picture of how well we are progressing in collecting all the payments within the year, which is quite important one in terms of how it sort of gives us a position to see how well we're going to be faring in future years, because the longer the overpayments last, if they're not recovered, then the harder it is to recover those needs. But that's the reason why I'm very optimistic when we set the target in 2022.
So, does anybody have any questions? Councillor Beach.
Follow-up question to the answer.
Cam, but I'll turn your mic on, if I may.
Sorry. Sort of a follow-up question to what Sal was saying. How do we get reimbursed?
So if an overpayment's been created, it means that it's basically claimant error or it's fraudulent. So we send them an invoice, basically, so it then sits within sundry debts in a special section in our sundry debt collection. So we get an invoice, and then there's ways of recovering. If they're working, we can attach an attachment to earnings if that's necessary. And if they're in benefits, we can have attachment to benefits. For attachment to benefits, I think the maximum is about £5 a week. So if you've got an overpayment of a few thousand pounds, it will take a number of years to pay off, which is why what we have as another target, which is in the targets to be set for the current year, we have that target about having housing benefits overpayments on payment arrangements, because that helps us ensure we get the collection in future years. It might take a number of years to come in, which basically raises an invoice.
Question? Councillor Grover.
So I've got a question on sickness, but it relates to long-term sickness. So perhaps I'll take text on the meeting and contact you. Is that okay?
Yeah. By all means, it is Andy's portfolio.
I know he's obviously currently, so I'll send you an email copy. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, I think that brings to an end item 5. Thank you, James and Sam. That brings us to item 6, which is the main item on the agenda of this meeting. There are a number of areas I would like us to cover under item 6. Those broadly come under the headings of the nature and the structure of our scrutiny committee going forward and how we want to operate, looking at the legacy items that we've inherited from the previous committee, and determining our forward plan for the next 12 months, identifying the topics that are of interest to us going forwards. Now, if we look at the first of those, and you're welcome to raise others after, of course, the nature of our scrutiny committee, we know that in the December meeting of the council, they cut the number of councillors on the scrutiny committee down to 8. That's why so few of us in the room. We know that that was done in response to the member survey, but also in response to the benchmarking exercise of other councils in the area. Now, as a result of the recommendations that were put into action, we not only reduced our numbers, but we also agreed to look at how we could be trained better in order to undertake scrutiny. Along those lines, a few training courses will be offered in the coming month or so. There'll be one specifically for chairs, which I have the fun of, I think, going to Coventry for. There will be a slightly shorter one for all members of the scrutiny committees, just to brush up on our skills and any changes that happened since we were last trained. So, in terms of the nature of our scrutiny reviews, I wanted to raise a few of the good things I saw in scrutiny when I first arrived, and also get your own opinions on this. My own views are that the presentations that we had in the scrutiny committees were immensely useful in order for us to directly challenge points raised in those presentations from outside and inside agencies. And I would like to see those presentations continued. And I suspect we can probably have one important presentation to the group in each of the four major meetings of this committee each year. There may be other meetings. I suspect those other meetings might be because presenters can't make our scheduled four meetings, but there might be other reasons for that. In terms of our approach, I think one of the things we have to be very mindful of are the expiry dates for important contracts relating to council services. I'm thinking of things like the groundskeeping contracts. We just need to keep an eye on when those are likely to come up so that we can slot them into a scrutiny schedule if needs be as we go along a sensible time frame. I think one of the negatives that I've seen in the scrutiny committees I have sat in has been the tempo of scrutiny items. Some of them seem to linger for a very long time, and there are good reasons why we don't rush, but equally it does seem that we could speed things up a little bit. We've got some legacy items in this committee that have been on the go for a year and a half or so. I would like to think we can speed up a little for future items, as long as the nature of those items allows us to do so. Final thing from me, in terms of our approach, we are now a smaller group. There's only eight of us. There aren't eight, there's seven, but one's on holiday. I think for large, complex scrutiny items, we're probably able to undertake them as a group, as a one group. But I think for smaller, shorter activities, we can probably keep subgroups in order to streamline our approach a little bit. And some of the legacy items can probably be finished off by subgroups rather than by all of us trying to work together around the table, just to make good use of our expertise, really. Does anyone have any comments on the sort of the nature of the scrutiny committee before I move on to the legacy items? Anything they want to get off their chest? Councillor Beach.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Staff Chair, in regards to maintaining some elements with small groups, some elements as an entire committee. If possible, if the small groups and subgroups could still be Zoom accessible, it would make it far easier to participate, certainly on my behalf, in terms of working full time, and perhaps even for the officers. Obviously, they've got an extra committee to manage and to schedule. Hopefully, it would allow more access to members overall, if that's possible.
I couldn't agree more, Councillor Beach. I think there have been some very minor positives of the pandemic, and it's that we've learned to work remotely, and I think we should hold on to that where it's appropriate to do so. Councillor Griffin.
Yeah, on that, I'll just ask the opposite, I guess, for some technical advice on Zoom meetings. I know what the impact on voting is at Zoom meetings, and the requirement for members in the Zoom meeting to actually vote.
So, formal committee meetings such as this will continue to be held in person, and those rules around voting would apply. Informal meetings such as subgroups would be absolutely fine to be held on virtual.
Okay. We move on to the legacy items. We've actually got a little bit of overlap between committee members, between the old committee structure and the new one, which is very fortunate as we have three legacy items to discuss. The fourth one would have been the waste management review, but that has now been moved into a different scrutiny committee. The two reports that were produced have effectively been combined to one, will be finished by Patricia's committee. That leaves us with mayoralty, ICT, and the DFG legacy items. If we look at the mayoralty first, I'll turn to James and ask if he'd give a brief reprise of the current situation with the mayoralty review.
Absolutely. So there was a subgroup formed last year to progress that particular review. In terms of the membership of this committee, we still have Councillor Grosvenor from that previous subgroup that sits on this committee. Where we've got to in terms of that piece of work was there's a very well developed working document which is drawing together the background data information that the subgroup as it was wanted to see from that review. The next stages really were to undertake some surveys with members and the public as well to have an opinion on the current functions, etc. There was a piece of work we've done around travel as well, narrow car, etc. A little bit of work around categorising the different types of event that the mayors have attended in previous years. So that's where we are in terms of that report. For the FGs, we still have the core of the previous subgroup with us, as in the Gary Grove Beach. We did previously have Councillor Chowdhury on that subgroup as well. In terms of that, the subgroup met with the council to understand with the DFGs from a council perspective. The opinion seemed to be from that subgroup that they were generally happy with the progress that the council had been making, having some challenges and barriers identified from partners such as Trenton Dole, which was invited to the last committee meeting of the previous committee as it was. Some of the information questions in that conversation was around what they were doing to make improvements for the best side of things, had changed some policies, etc. So it's agreed that they would come back in about 6 months from that committee meeting to talk to the committee again and to help us understand the progress that they've made. They were given previously also any technical questions that we might have in the meantime, coming back to them. And then on the ICT, again, there's a subgroup of there. I think we have myself, Council Lock, as the remaining member from the previous subgroup. But the data gathering that's given away as a research officer supporting myself, James, a research officer gathering the information that is there. So again, we've got a bare bones of a working document being formed. So that's where we have those three.
Thank you, James. So we've got a few things to do for each of them. Work out who's the lead going forward, who wants to be a member of the group looking into those items going forward. We've got to have a little chat about the scope, because the scope was set by a different committee and we may wish to make changes. And finally, the time scales to completion. So starting off with the mayoralty, we need to identify the lead councillor. We still have the lead councillor from last time round, Councillor Grosvenor. Do you wish to continue as lead?
I have no issue with that.
Okay. In that case, the subgroup to support you in that, who would like to be on the mayoralty review? Councillor Legg joins Councillor Grosvenor. Any further members?
I think, Chair, that should be everybody on the scrutiny committee should be involved in that important investigation and review, because we've got people with different strengths and people with different ideas. Myself and Councillor Gaskin are mayor and past mayor, so we would be able to give our views on actually doing the job, which I think is important. And I feel that it's such an important review that perhaps the whole committee should be involved in some way.
Okay. Councillor Grosvenor, are you happy with that as a way forward?
I have to disagree, because I think the idea of a subgroup really to get some fast pace behind it now, and it has been dragging on for a while. I'm not entirely convinced that a bigger group will aid that, and specifically if we're going to make some recommendations to the mayoralty, which may impact this year's mayoralty as well. I think Councillor Hudson might need to consider a declaration of an interest on that particular aspect. I think we're all councillors with different opinions on what happens with the mayoralty, and I think, you know, a subgroup, a smaller subgroup, would be better than the whole group taking part. I understand that all members of this committee may not agree with that, and they may agree with Councillor Hudson. I can see that's the way it's going. But my specific choice would be a smaller subgroup.
I'd like to come back on that you personally voted against the mayor and deputy mayor on two or three occasions, and you even tried to change the budget. So, you know, I want a more fairer representation, I think, on the committee.
I think, again, to come back on that, whatever the report comes back with, you know, it's for other people to decide on that that's taken forward, whether that's us or the executive. So what my personal opinion on the mayoralty is, Gaz Hudson, I think, you know, somebody else will decide what happens with it. I may have voted against mayoralty in the past. Reason is that there's been basically a review taking place in the last 12 months. I may have tried to alter the budget because of the review that's been taking place. But, you know, that will not impact any ultimate decision with the mayoralty move.
Okay. I think I return back to my original question of who wishes to be on the mayoralty review. So we've got Councillor Grove and we've got Councillor Legg. Councillor Hudson, do you wish to be on the mayoralty review from what you've said?
I would, but it puts me in a difficult position being mayor. I'm quite happy to be consulted as mayor, and I think that the past mayor should be consulted as well. Yeah, I'm quite happy to be on the review accepted by the rest of the committee.
I will certainly also join that one. I think it's important the chair have an idea what's going on all of the scrutiny items, so I will also join that. Anybody else? Councillor Beach? Okay, so we've got Councillor Legg, Councillor Grover, myself, Councillor Beach, and Councillor Hudson as. Sorry, have you decided to or not to?
Would the committee like me to stand?
My understanding is you've been interviewed as part of this anyway. I don't see a reason why you shouldn't be involved.
I don't think it's a necessary commitment in terms of attendance. As you say, the current mayor would be consulted. Apologies. The current mayor would be consulted. And should it come to a point where it's issues requiring a declaration of interest at a later stage, have we gained an advantage or disadvantage in either scenario? Is it put the review in a position that is? I'm asking logistics, really.
I think, Councillor McGarrick.
Can we just take advice from Sal and James to see if Councillor Hudson can go on a subcommittee as the existing mayor now? Because if he has got to declare an interest, or it puts him in an awkward situation, then we might as well bow him out now rather than do it later.
My response would be to seek advice from the council.
Okay, so for the time being, we'll move.
I think the Councillor Gaskin would like to.
Yeah, I was going to say I'd like to be on that subcommittee.
Okay, so
I will withdraw then.
Oh, okay.
It keeps everything nice and fair and simple.
So just for the record, we've now got Councillor Grove, myself, Councillor Beach, and Councillor Gaskin, and Councillor Legg. So that's a subset, Councillor Grove, but quite a large subset. Okay. In terms of the scope of that item, my understanding from looking at the scoping document, the main items remaining were largely interviews and potentially a survey and travel-related stuff. Councillor Grosvenor, has your thinking on the scope of this changed? Is there anything you want to add or remove?
Yeah, I'm not sure with the survey. It was suggested by Councillor Clark at the time. I just think that's going to extend this review beyond the reasonable timescale. In terms of understanding what questions are going to be asked in that survey, I know James had tried to contact members of the subgroup to try and understand some questions. When you're trying to determine questions on a committee, you're never going to get to the end of it. So I just would like to remove the element of the survey. We've done a survey of the residents. That was done in the last budget consultation exercise last year. We've got their views. So I think removing surveys is probably the way to go, and that will help us speed along with any decisions.
I agree with that. Actually, I was going to actually ask about the survey, so I'm glad you said that. Okay, anybody else got anything to say on the scope, remaining scope of that item? Which case, I just asked, do you think the next meeting is reasonable to wrap that one up? There'll be September.
I think that's fair for you. You mentioned we're at the stage where we've got almost got a fully functioning report, so I think September is probably the way to go for it.
Yeah, I think that should certainly be the target.
Yeah.
We'll set up the sub-now as soon as possible. We'll get that moving again, and if there's a longer, then we'll report that back. But you know, that certainly should be the target.
Great. Councillor Beach.
Could I just make a final comment? You said you're going to look at it over a five-year period, the previous 5 years. I'm not at all entirely of the opinion the last 5 years will be a representative example of the last 100 years of mayoralty in terms of there's been COVID and nothing has happened and nobody's been anywhere, you're looking at, you know, money raised and people attending functions, and I'm not sure that that's going to show a fair representation on average. If you're talking 2.5 years out of five, you may as well look at the last 10 years in terms of data, or look at the last 5 years excluding COVID, the 5 years pre-March 2020.
Do we have data, James, going back any further that we can rely on?
I'm sure there is. Yeah, we'd have to, we don't want to get into the realms of doing the scrutiny here and now, necessarily. No. But that is certainly a point. The draft working document is accounted for the issue of COVID, as that's clear where we we've got you know, spikes or dips in numbers, etc. We'll make that clear back to the committee when that final report is made. But yeah, when the committee, we can scratch under the surface for some finer detail, and just further detail, that further data or evidence that we need, and we'll certainly put that.
Okay, we'll put that legacy item to one side now, and we'll go to ICT. Now, the lead on the ICT scrutiny item was myself. I think I only was in place for one meeting before the committee structure changed, so I didn't get very far. As a result, I would like to continue with that. If you're happy for me to continue with lead for the ICT, I would also very much welcome somebody to assist me, or a couple of people to assist me on that. Is there anyone who would like to join the ICT scrutiny item? Councillor Leck. Thank you. Anybody else? Is that are you volunteering, Councillor Beach?
Probably.
I'll take probably as a yes. I think that's probably sufficient number of people, unless there's anybody else who wants to desperately join that one. In terms of the scope, that was done relatively recently. The main activities in that are going to be benchmarking exercise, which is about to launch. It's been held back until we could get a new group together, and also to do surveys of members and surveys of managers. Both of those surveys are drafted and have been checked. They're pretty much ready to go, but again, I wanted to wait until this committee structure started to circulate those two surveys for comment amongst you all, just to see if anyone's got any great ideas that we can build in. So that one is likely to move forward quite quickly, but it's been waiting until this meeting to get going. In terms of timescale, we probably won't make the September meeting. We will definitely make the December one if we don't make the September one. It depends how fast we can get the benchmarking done, I would say. And I'm unfamiliar with timescales for getting information out of other councils, so I'm hedging my bets and saying we might miss September. But you never know. Okay. We move to our final one, the DFG. In terms of lead, we still have Councillor McGarry from last time round. Councillor McGarry, do you wish to continue as lead for that item?
I can do, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. We also have Councillor Beach as an existing member on that. Do you wish to stay on that one? Okay. Does anyone else wish to join? Councillor Hudson wishes to join. And because I said I wanted to keep an eye on all the items, at least to start with, until I can bed in, I'll also join that one alongside you. I think that particular scrutiny is pretty much on hold until our next meeting, when there'll be a presentation from Trent and Dove, at which point it will start to conclude. So that one will be out of our way. Would you agree after the next meeting?
Yeah, fingers crossed. we do need kind of Trent and Dove back, because obviously there were questions asked of the team, and you know, there was somebody new in place at the time. So we do need to bring them back and see how far they've progressed before we move on.
So if we get that one right in terms of procedure, we can have a report drafted and we can just slip in additional questions or recommendations in the meeting itself, and that will be done, and we will be able to look at our new items and along those lines. Councillor Gaskin.
Yeah, can we make sure that Trent and Dove sent somebody who's actually been at the firm for more than a week or two? The lady who sent, I really felt sorry for her, because she was put in a position really of not being able to answer many of her questions, and I did feel for her, honestly. So somebody who's got a little bit more experience.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping it'd be the same person, but she'll have had a chance to get a feeling at the table. But yeah, I agree with you there. There's no point in just sending a person if they don't understand the situation historically. Any other points on that before we move on? Okay. We move to forward plan. Now, in terms of topics, with the Trent and Dove related scrutiny item not quite on hold, but it's almost on hold until the presentation, I believe we do have room on our slate for one more item at the moment. So we can actually launch a new scrutiny item in this meeting if we can identify one we're happy with. I would suggest we cover that first, but let's try and work out what our ideas are. What do people think should be scrutinised in our forward work programme? We can then work out which is the top priority to launch tonight. Anyone want to put forward any topics? Councillor Lay.
Enforcement, please.
Enforcement. Civil enforcement.
Yes, please.
Okay. You might have realised, this came up in our informal chat before the meeting. There are a number of areas of civil enforcement that we could choose to look at. We've got to look at all of it. I think in the meeting we had, Councillor, we discussed fly tipping. We also discussed car parks. Are there any other areas of civil enforcement you think should be added to that? Putting you on the spot there.
Mine was more looking at the rubbish which is generated from people when they stop to go in the shop, stub the fag out on the floor, and somebody has to clean it up. And I watched our poor man spend an hour and a half just on a bit of street, just clearing up fag ends. And I think there's no need for that to happen if the civil enforcement people have been about.
Okay, so in that case, that's general littering.
Which I don't think we covered.
James, do you want to answer that question? Because I thought we did.
Well, I asked a question from civil enforcement about a certain wasting, and they said the only thing they dealt with was litter that was left by waste. And then I had this meeting with them last week because I wanted them to come and do a job for me at the Woodlands. And I've now got to get the County Council to deal with it and the police. So
maybe one of the things the scrutiny committee could do is determine why that
statute. It should, you know, it would be nice to. But I don't know whether is it our civil enforcement officers that issue tickets for littering or is it the police?
Sam?
I think a lot of things depend on where that is. So if it's littering on private property, then. Our street cleaning crews will attend that. If it's littering going in the town centre, we've got street cleaning that to do our cleaning and emptying the bins. It depends on what you're going to be looking at, and that will depend on, I suppose, which officers you want to engage with. We can help decide that once you've got to sort of what you want to look at.
Okay, so
Yeah, where I'm coming from. So if somebody comes out and drops litter on the floor, is that something that our enforcement issues with the issue of sex penalty for? I think is that what you're getting at, Councillor? And I don't know whether it is.
And neither does anybody in this around this table, by the looks of it.
My understanding is, Gareth, yes, they've got the...
Okay, in that case, that's fair enough for us to look at. Mark?
Sorry, Chair. If a city enforcement officer witnesses somebody dropping this, they can issue a fixed penalty.
Thank you, Mark.
That. They obviously have to witness it. It has to be witnessed. It's not a matter of somebody saying, oh, X dropped a cigarette butt or a crisp packet a week ago or a day ago. They have to witness it. So in terms of an understanding about the formalities around issuing that's something the committee could look at in terms of generating a broader understanding, certainly. And also in terms of the remit about what can and what can't be undertaken by the officers.
Thank you, Mark. That's a very useful interjection. I think that confirms that we can add littering into civil enforcement scrutiny item, including Mark's got another point.
Sorry, just to add, that there are a couple of corporate plan targets to do with things like dog fouling and so on. There's a corporate plan target to issue dog, or to set up dog receptacles for picking up. So issuances for dog fouling, they can issue an FPN for. Issuances for dogs not being on lead in a particular public space protection order area that they can issue for. So probably the scope needs to be quite clearly sort of planned out and deliberately planned out so that we know where we're going from the plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think in all fairness, we don't happen to handle every aspect of civil enforcement in one scrutiny item. It probably isn't useful to do so to slow down that item. We could return to other aspects of civil enforcement at another time. I think Councillor Hudson wants to say something. I can tell he's got his finger resting on the button there.
No, I'd like to get involved with the councillor, because there's a lot of confusion in the borough as to where dogs have to be kept on the lead. And the keyboard trolls are saying one thing, but the actual, when you look on the website, it's sort of completely different. So that would be something else to clear up, that we know exactly which areas are not.
So it sounds like we have someone who's fascinated by dog fouling, yeah? Mark?
Sorry, Chair. Public space protection orders are being reviewed currently, and there will be a report defining what the new reallocated areas are going to be. I believe that's in October, November time. It's in the corporate plan that's coming forward. So in terms of the definition about those areas, that's something that will be redefined. They're 3 years, the last 3 years, and this year is the year that
Okay, that sounds like a good confirmation that we're timely on this one. It's growing, it's gone fly tipping, car parks, dog fouling, littering. I think this is going to fill quite a lot of our slate, possibly even once some of the other disappear, if we do go forward with this as a top priority item. Does anyone wish to highlight any other areas of scrutiny potentially as a priority area? Any other items you think should be put? Remember, we've got a full 12-month forward plan here, so we can have some that are on the back burner if there are areas that you think should be looked at. Just a few to add in myself. I think when the time is right, I think we should probably look at the EV charging approach that the council is thinking of taking. I think we could also, in the longer term, have a scrutiny item on the CCF. I don't know the last time it was looked at, but I think it's worth having a look at. Councillor McGarry?
CCF isn't this committee. It's mine.
Oh, I know. Okay. Oh, so are you already investigating that?
It's already on.
Oh, right. Okay. That's in that case, I will remove CCF from my list. The other one was CCTV in the longer term, because I know that's a recurring one. As discussed previously. So we have two EV charging, civil enforcement. I would suggest we go with civil enforcement. There's a lot there that we can look at, and that we get that one started, see how much time and how many strands we want to look into on that. Anyone disagree? As I propose, we go for civil enforcement as our new scrutiny item to launch. Do I have a seconder for that? Councillor Gary, sorry, all in favour? Great, okay, so it's going to be civil enforcement, people. James, in terms of the scoping document for a new scrutiny item, what would you like us to provide you in terms of input to get that started? I don't want anyone to leave this room without us having what we need to written down. We've covered the areas that it would cover. So I think
I want to understand whether or not it's a subgroup approach or an all-committee approach.
I think this is an all-committee. If it's got this many strands, we can form subgroups for the different areas. Unless anyone...
No, that's a good idea. No, that's a logical...
I'm allowed one good idea a meeting, so... No.
But what I would say is that, listening to the conversation tonight, what it might be worth doing is the scope of the... For any review that we do, whether it's a subgroup approach or otherwise... That the full committee agrees the approach, agrees the scope,
yeah.
And then tasks that subgroup with going on and undertaking that piece of work. That's just a suggestion for you, Chair.
So I think to keep things rolling, I know people have had some initial comments around the table tonight. If they can perhaps send me some information on what they want to see specifically from it, and output, outcomes, etc., we'll just start to shape that. Informal conversation through it, so we'll talk about it in advance, so we read that in a little bit more detail and take things forward. Thanks for the officers listening as well to understand a few bits and pieces for the conversation we just had. We'll get a statement paper finalised for the subgroups to take a look.
Sounds like a plan. Sounds like we've also all got homework. If I can set a sort of artificial deadline there, if you can get back to James in the next week or so with your thoughts on civil enforcement, so we can keep things rolling at a reasonable pace. James, if you wouldn't mind sending an email just to remind people so everyone's got something in their inbox. Thank you very much. We need a lead councillor for civil enforcement. Councillor Legg, you...
Councillor Legg
indicated quite strongly that she doesn't wish to do this. Do we have a volunteer?
Do you want to lead councillor, or do you want to wait until it fractions into subgroups because we have three?
I think it's fair enough for me to lead at a sort of umbrella level, and then we'll identify a lead for each of the substrands, if that's okay with everyone. I had a feeling that's what was going to happen. So, as far as reporting to this committee is concerned, I don't mind being the lead there. Okay. Does anyone have any questions or points they wish to raise under item 6 that haven't been covered so far? Okay. In that case, we move to item 7, the public executive decision records. These were sent to us. Now, just opening those up. Read them. I try not to print too much, which is why I haven't got all that on paper. So we have... Oh, it was in the book that you've given me as well. So we have two, to expand the existing stock of 6 leased self-contained properties by a further 3 properties on a 3-year lease to meet our statutory obligations to homeless households with family commitments. And I shouldn't read them out. Yes. I see that's something I should have known beforehand. Okay, and the other one, which will remain anonymous. Does anyone have anything to say on item 7? No? Okay, that will be expunged from the recording, I'm sure. Okay, we move to item 8. Questions, to receive any questions submitted by any member of the committee for answer by the leader, deputy leader or officers of council. There have been none submitted. So we will move to item 9, date of the next meeting, which will be Wednesday the 28th of September 2022. I will now move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part I of Schedule 12A of the Act indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. At which point people make a swift answer.